Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee and in the boat with the hired servants and followed him.
And they went into Capernaum. And immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee.
And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with fever, and they immediately told her about her. And then he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. She began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought him all who were sick and oppressed by demons, and the whole city gathered together at the door. And healed many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and they would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him.
And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to an isolated place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went through all Galilee, preaching and in their synagogues and casting out demons.
And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly changed him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and talked freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter.
Amen. Great job. Wow. The beautiful reading of God's word, and we say thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word this morning. As we continue in the beginning of the good news, according to Mark. God, we ask that you would bless us as we hear your word. God, as always, I invite you to speak through me in spite of me, that my words might contain your truth. God, we love you and we thank you and we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome once again. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you, and good to see everyone watching online, or maybe anybody that will watch this or listen to this later. So glad that you're with us, glad you're tuning in, and so happy that we're continuing in this study in Mark's gospel. Last week, we began with the title of this book, which is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And this week we have, it's one of those weeks where I have almost too much to really talk about. So I just wanted to kind of give some highlights. And then we're going to celebrate communion together, which is always one of my favorite things to do as we gather at the altar and we come forward. So we began this week with Jesus on the move. And it's kind of almost like a day in the life. And as we read through this, there's a question that ties all these stories together. You heard lots of different stories, lots of different adventures already, but there's one thing that ties all of it together all the way through to chapter 8 of Mark's gospel. There is a section of Mark's gospel, chapter 8, verse 30, where things change. And so the first part of Mark's gospel, all addressing this one question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And as we're called to follow Jesus, it's kind of about us as well, as we find ourselves in these stories, as we follow along, as we listen in, as we see ourselves as the people that Jesus interacts with. And so that question, over and over again, we'll be thinking about who is Jesus? And then at 8:31 and following, later than that, he's really all about helping us understand why he came. What is it that he must do to go to the cross to die for our sins? He's in this helping us understand what's about to happen. So as we begin, as we see Jesus, I believe that this is happening early in the morning. He's out there on the Sea of Galilee, calling Andrew and Peter to become fishers of men, to become fishers of people. And I got a confession right straight away. I'm not a fisherman. I'm sorry about that. I like the idea of fishing, you know, sitting there thinking about eating fish or something like that, whatever fishermen think about. And I like that idea. And I like I even like the waiting, not sure if I'll catch anything. But if I caught something, it would probably be really little and I'd throw it back. Or it would be really big and I wouldn't know what to do with it. I'd have to, like, have a friend help me. Like, do I gut it or cut it or what do I do at that point? So I'd probably throw it back even if I caught one. And that'd be kind of unkind to the fish and all. So I'm not a fisherman, but I understand this idea. And yet, I've never really gravitated toward this idea of fishing for people or what that even meant until this past week when something clicked in me when you understand it this way. And you got to think about it this way. The sea, okay, the sea for first century people represented chaos and darkness and danger. And in the sea, it's unpredictable. By the way, you could be out on the sea, it could be calm. All of a sudden, a storm could kill you. I mean, it's just unpredictable, it's chaos and dangerous. And who could control the sea? Only God can control the sea. And we're going to see this later in chapter 4 where Jesus even has authority over the waves and the wind. And when we have Jesus saying, follow me and I'll make you fishers of people, I think it adds a whole lot to our understanding to understand how they would have seen the sea. And Jesus is all about the work of calling the disciples to become the people that can help people come out of the chaos, out of the darkness, which fits the biblical theme all the way to the very beginning when God brings order out of chaos and says, let there be light. And there was light. And then he begins to order things. It fits the narrative of God leading God's people through the sea to freedom. So it's a new dimension on my understanding of what it means to be a fisher of people. It means bringing people out of the chaos and out of the darkness. And so who is Jesus? Jesus is someone that calls us to follow him so that our lives can be about other people. I think that's a beautiful thing to see in this text this morning. Then Jesus goes from there into a synagogue, and they are amazed at his authority. Do you get this sense of amazement where most of the time a rabbi would, or whoever was teaching in the synagogue, they would say, well, you know, Rabbi Hillel says this, or Gamaliel says this, and Jesus was speaking on his own authority. And many times in Scripture, you have something that was just kind of unheard of to say, well, you've read in Scripture this, but truly I tell you this other thing. Jesus does that a lot as he has this authority. And then he encounters someone that is possessed by a demonic spirit, possessed by a demon. I got kind of hung up on the word possessed, and I looked it up to find out what this was in the Greek. And really, the word possessed isn't in the Greek at all. The word is with. So a man came with his demons. And I can relate to that a little bit more. I'm possessed by the living Christ. That's who owns me. You know what? That's who owns me and you. At our baptism, where there's this understanding that our lives are not our own. We belong to God. It says that in 1 Corinthians that you were bought with such a high price. Your body is not your own. It's a temple for the Holy Spirit. So, but we struggle with our demons, don't we? Whatever we might call them. Sometimes we wouldn't even call them that, but maybe addictions or hang-ups or whatever they are. And they're with us. And they know who Jesus is. That's the fascinating thing about this part of the gospel is that we're wondering who Jesus is. Well, the demons are telling us. And the demons are saying, this is the Holy One of God. Jesus casts them out, and he tells them to be quiet, and they obey him. They come out of the person, but they don't do it quietly. It's sort of partial obedience there with the demons. They come out with shrieks, and as I read this, I read it in all kinds of voices. The demons, who, what do you want with me, Jesus? I love the reading this morning. Ava's face is very stern. What would you want with me, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? So it's just vivid telling of this story. Well, right from there, the crowds began to see authority. And in this whole section of Mark's gospel, we see Jesus having authority over demonic forces and over illness. Jesus is beginning to heal people of their illnesses. And from the synagogue, it's as if they're just ushered right into the home of Simon Peter. It all happens just like that. Immediately is the word. So he goes from the synagogue with the demon possession straight into, a little bit later in the day, into the house of Simon Peter. And his mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And Jesus heals her. And it's this interesting thing that happens when Jesus heals her of her illness. She begins to serve them. Her fever left her and she began to wait on them. Now for us, that's kind of hard to, that doesn't maybe strike a nice chord in you. Because if that happened today and there was a healing, the first thing that you would want to do is say, is there anything you need, ma'am? Could I bring you something? But she starts serving them. That seems odd, right? But not if you look at it like this. So illness back in these days was different from disease. Illness had to do with your ability to be in relationship with others in society. And so when she begins to serve them, this is a restoration of honor. This is a restoring her to community and to relationship. And that's what it's all about, much more than like the particular about she's, you know, now fixing them lunch or something. She's able to do what brings her honor, and she's able to serve them. So we ask this question, who is Jesus? Jesus is the healer that can restore us to relationship and community. It's crowded. Jesus heals many people. And the thing that we see about this is that the people continue to come to Jesus from all over the place, from everywhere, from near and far. And it says this, that the whole town gathered at the door. Can you imagine? And we know this is a way of telling the story where, like, it's a way of saying a whole lot of people came. He's becoming really well known because of his healings. And you know, if you said that, you know, the whole neighborhood showed up at my house, you would imagine the cars lined up outside. But it's a way of saying that more and more people were attracted to Jesus. And it's a very successful ministry that he's having there in Capernaum. So you'd think maybe he would celebrate, stay in Capernaum, you know, keep on doing ministry there. But what happens when the people crowd in on Jesus, the very next thing that we see is this beautiful image of, well, it says very early in the morning, while it was still dark. Now, the way that that's written, it's early in the morning. How early was it?
Very early.
Very early. Really early. And how early is really early? Before sun comes up. Guys, I got to tell you, this morning I woke up at 4:30. And I was thinking about Jesus praying. And I laid there in bed. And I, of course, want to be like Jesus praying early in the morning. I closed my eyes to pray. And then it was 6:30. Does that ever happen to you? I prayed, and then it was 6:30. I felt like I was still praying. But Jesus got up and went out to a solitary place. And one of the things that we find out about who is Jesus, well, he models this prayer for us. That when we're feeling pressure, when we're feeling the whole world is at our front door, when we're feeling that the need, and there's so many needs, what do we have to do before anything else? Jesus retreats and he goes to a solitary place to pray. And I wonder about that for you. Have you found a solitary place to pray? A place where you go to and you meet with God there. And you feel recharged, renewed in your spirit. The very next thing that happens is disciples come and they find him. And they wonder where he was, and they say, come on, you're needed back in Capernaum. Come on back to where you've had this successful ministry, where all the people are at the door and they're waiting to be healed and all this. And he says, no, we're going to go on to the next town. And so he goes on from there. And that's when the story, we get another glimpse at who Jesus is. And I wanted to spend a little time on this. When he's on the way through the Galilee, he's approached by a leper who asks him to heal him, which is really strange because lepers would not speak to you. They would only be able to say one thing, and that's unclean, unclean. And we know the law. I mean, you guys know Leviticus 13, right? You come into the Leviticus 13. I'm sure you're very familiar with the laws of cleanliness and purification and things like this. I wasn't. I'm kidding. The man is diseased and unclean. It says the priest shall pronounce him unclean because of the sore on his head. He must wear clothes and let his hair be unkempt. Unkempt. And he covered the lower part of their face, and they cry out, unclean, unclean. And as long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside of the camp. And so if you're one of the people that are following Jesus around the Galilee and seeing what he's doing, you expect him to do what Elisha did, and that's to just tell this leper to go wash in the pool somewhere and then go to the priest and he'll be clean. But Jesus does the unthinkable here in the eyes of the law. Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. And we can kind of skim over that like it's not a big deal, but in this time it was a big deal that he would touch the unclean because that made him unclean in the eyes of the law. And there's this almost like a trading places. Now the leper, even though Jesus says, don't tell anyone, he goes about freely telling everyone, and he's restored to community. His relationships are restored. And then, but Jesus almost as if this early foreshadowing that he takes the leper's place, that now he's outside and can't go back into the city. But that doesn't stop the people from coming to him. Who is Jesus? Jesus is not afraid to touch us in our uncleanliness, in our state of being outside of society. I was reminded of kind of what that might feel like today. There was a story that I heard years ago about a little boy who went to the fair, and very excited about the fair coming to his town. You know, the fair, the carnival comes through, and when he went to the fair, he got just so excited. He wanted to eat one of those fried dough, you know, elephant ear things that you get. And he gobbled that up, and then he had some cotton candy and maybe a candy apple, and he got his belly all full of sweets and things like this. And then he thought it was a good idea. He was just very excited. He wanted to ride the zipper. You know what the zipper is? It turns you upside down and about, you know, and it goes up around and comes back around. And as he's on the zipper, the carny that's operating the ride begins to hear screams, oh, oh, and so on. And it thought it was joyful, so he kept the ride going extra long, you know. And when the boy got out of the ride, he had lost all of the food that he had eaten, and it was all over him, encrusted with sweets from the carnival. And the crowd backed up, and you had hardened carnies had never seen anything like it, and no one would come near the boy, and everyone sort of circled around this vomit encrusted zipper boy. And through the crowd, there comes someone holding a towel. And while everyone else was far away, this one person was trying to get through the crowd with a towel. And it was his mama. And she cleaned him up and restored him to society. Who is Jesus for you? In our place of being unclean and covered in sin, he's not afraid of whatever darkness we keep hidden, whatever we would pronounce even ourselves as unclean. Who is Jesus? He is the one that invites us to follow, to be about the eternity of others, to bring them from darkness and chaos into life and life abundant. He's the great healer that heals many, and many people know about. He's the one that is known by the demons. He's the one that is giving us an example to pray. And he's the one that is not afraid to come near, to touch, to heal, and to restore. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you didn't stay distant, that you saw us in our need, and that you decided to come close in Christ Jesus. God, we thank you for this good news as we move so quickly through it and we see this theme that connects all the stories. God, thank you for continuing to grow in us, for continuing to teach us who you are and who we are as your people. God, we love you and we thank you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.